There we go. Today's show is about hotels on Pesach. So this year, not many people are going to be going to hotels on Pesach. Baruch Hashem.
Great minds think alike.
Problems that we're going to be coming across during this year are not going to be so negar. But for future years, it's very important to know all the problems that could exist when you go to a hotel on Pesach.
Pretty
so before we start, let's just learn through the Mamakumas. We're going to do it a bit differently to other days. We're just going to learn through all the Mamakumas and learn the halachas about some basic halachas about Bedikas Chametz, about owning Chametz. And then we're going to go through practically different problems that can occur when you go to a hotel on Pesach. There was a thing that went around last year. It said, and if you're spending Pesach with your in-laws, chag kosher, and if you're spending Pesach in a hotel, chag sameach, and if you're spending your Pesach in a hotel with your in-laws, then chag. It says in the Gemara, I'm talking. Dalet Amud Aleph. Someone's not muted for 1 second. Okay, now we're good. It says in the Gemara, in Pesachim, on that Dalet Amud Aleph. Bo'aminei Rav Nachman by Yitzchok. Hamaske ba'as tekabeh ba'ar ba'osa. Someone who rents his house to his friend on the 14th. Al mi livdoik. Who has to check the house for comments? Al hamaske livdoik de chamira didehu. Is the responsibility on the renter because the chametz belong to him? Or maybe the responsibility is on the soicha because the chametz are in his rishus. Because now that he's rented the house, I'm renting an apartment over here. The chametz are in my rishus, so therefore maybe I have to do bedika. So the Gemara says, "Amluhu Rav Nachman by Yitzchok Tanina." We learned in the brayza, so I skipped a few lines. Tanina, Hamaske ba'at kabeiroi. Im ad shloim moslo mafteikus kal aba osa al hamaske lipdoik, ve'im mishem moslo mafteikus kal aba osa al asoik lipdoik. It depends when the keys were handed over. That's the main time that we go after. If the keys were handed over before the 14th, then the soik, the renter, has to check the house for comments. If the keys were handed over after the 14th, then the maske has to check the house for comments. Says the Shulchan Aruch, he paskins this la'alokah, but he also says in Sif Gimel that Hamaske ba'as lechaveru b'cheskes bodok. If you rent your house and it has a chazok that has been checked, when it's a shena bodok and it turns out that it has not been checked, ala soicha libdik, then everyone agrees that the soicha has to check the house. Ve'ena mekakto, so he can't claim his money back, it's not a false sale. Why? I feel a mockish abode can beskive in a city where they pay money for people to check for them. Shai mitzvah oisa, because it's a mitzvah to check your house, because comments, and people don't complain about doing mitzvahs. You got a mitzvah, you're happy about it. So therefore, if the maske rented the house after the 14th, so really he should have checked it and he didn't check it, then the soka definitely has to check. The next mamakum is a prima godin. The prima godin says that what happens if there is items in this rented house which are hefka? They don't belong to the soicha or the maske. A simple case is when there was a previous renter who lived in the house and he left the house and he took most of his furniture out with him and everything and he left a bit of chametz around. And he doesn't want it anymore. He's not coming back. He flew to America and now he's stuck there because of coronavirus. He's never coming back. And there's chametz sitting around the house and they're hefka. Says the Prima Godin, yearly, the Yesh Omim Bais Asukha Va Maske Shinem Konome Hefka. The very interesting halacha, the Sukha and the Maske, both of them are kuna from Hefka. If we can add Diana Komet Shal Shinem or Shinem Yukon Levatli, the Komet is under the responsibility of both the renter and the person who rented the house, and they both have to get rid of those Komets. When Shemakim Shinem Levatli, they can both do a bit of Komets. But after Isula Nichlin Delikni, even though usually people don't want to acquire things that are also, Yeshem Zeb is Manho Issa, that's only once Pesach has started. Mash Inkin couldn't as well before Pesach, then it becomes yours automatically if it's something of Hefka. What happens if you do not do Bedikas Chametz before Pesach? Let's say you move into a house halfway through Pesach. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Loibodak Belel Yudal, Yiptok Yom Yudal. If you don't check on the night of Erev Pesach, You should check on the during the day. But is a shoshi is gemei yom whenever you remember. If you don't check the entire day, then the halacha is interesting halacha. You can do b'dikas chametz in the middle of Pesach. Middle of Pesach, if you forgot to do b'dikas chametz, do it now. And if you find chametz, you burn them. And if you don't do that, you should do b'dikas chametz even after Pesach. So that you don't slip up and find chametz which have gone through Pesach and eat them. So you have to b'dikas chametz, and they're also b'handa. You have to b'dikas chametz and burn anything you find. But ala b'dik shel achar Pesach lo yibor. The Shulchan Aruch says that after Pesach you don't make a bracha anymore on b'dikas chametz. But it sounds like any time on erev Pesach or during Pesach they do b'dikas chametz and you do b'dika with a bracha. And we'll discuss that in more detail later. One more Gemara. What level of ownership do I have to have on the chametz in order to be over bali or bali matz on Pesach? Tanurabon. So the Bryce says like this: Shivas Yom Sa'alu Yimotzi Be'otikam. For 7 days you can't have unleavened bread. Matamaloima. What does it mean lo yimotzi? Ba'aloi kvanem aloi yiroi l'chosor. It already told us that you're not allowed to have the masin for chol gvulecho. So why does it say lo yimotzi? The fish name aloi yiroi l'chor. Because it says it shouldn't be seen l'chor to you, sor. Shalichor yataroya aval ataroya shalachirim b'shol kvulecho. So you make a deal. And this is the true deal, halacha l'maisa, that you are allowed to see other people's comments. So you can go out into the street and look at other people's comments on Pesach in the shop windows if there's any open. I would think they're not only allowed to see other people's comments, but you can also have other people's comments in your house, even if you accept responsibility, achrayus, over them, as long as you don't own them. The only problem is owning comments. But wait, if you don't own the comments, you just accept responsibility over them, then I would think that's okay. Therefore, Tamaloyim lo yimotzi. The pasuk lo yimotzi tells me it's also to have other people's chametz in your possession if you have responsibility over them, if you have a achrayus. What does this mean? So the Shulchan Aruch brings down two opinions. Nochi shef kechem tzu eti nisol, a goy who leaves his chametz with a Jew, emu chai baku yosu. If the Jew is responsible to the level that if it gets stolen or lost, he's going to have to pay, then whether these comes in his house or anywhere else, he has to burn them and pay back the guy for what he's lost. So this is the level of a shomer socher. The Shulchan Aruch is bringing down that if someone is a guardian on the level of a shomer socher, of a paid guardian, so he's going to have to pay for chametz that get lost or stolen, then he, it's also to have them like that on Pesach, and you have to burn them. This is the remark. Even if you go and take this chametz and you give it to another goy, it doesn't help. As long as you've got responsibility over those chametz, it's also on Pesach, it's like you own. Even if you're only responsible on the level of a shemichinom, if you're negligent with them, you have to pay. It could be you still have to burn them. That's what the Rama holds. He says that even if minadin, you don't actually have any legal responsibility over these comments, but you know that if these comments that are in your house and they belong to the goy, if they were to get destroyed or ruined, you would have to reimburse the goy for them, then that level of responsibility already might be enough to make you over on Pesach. V'yesh chokim, some people disagree. So, yeah, just to recap, we've got halacha that if that you've got a chiv dika on your dalet, and someone who rents a house, it depends who's got the key during that time, who has the chiv dika. We said that if the maskid doesn't do responsibility of checking the house, then the soka has to do it. And he can't complain. We said that if there's hefka in the house, then both of them have the responsibility over that hefka to get rid of it. We said that if you didn't do b'dikas chametz before Pesach, you do it during Pesach or even after Pesach. We said that even if you don't own chametz, if you have chametz and you are achrayus during Pesach, what that level is in the machlokes in the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, whether it's a level of geneva aveda or a level of pshia. But if you have chametz and you are achrayus on Pesach, then you're over on Bal Yimotzi. So let's talk about hotels. Okay, so Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Nissim Karelitz and lots of other acronym, modern-day acronym, say that a hotel room has the same dinim as renting a house. Just like when you rent a house, you have a chiyuv to check the house for chametz, so to when you rent a hotel room, you have a chiyuv to check for chametz. Now, this isn't so obvious, because there is a svara which people use, halacha l'maisa, when it comes to Erevin on Shabbos. There's a potential problem when you stay in any hotel, anywhere in the world, unless you're in an area with an Erev in a town. But anywhere in the world, you stay in a hotel and there's no Erev in the town, then you can't carry in the corridors, in the hallways of the hotel, because you have to make an Erev Katzeiros. That means that even though there's mechitzas, it's an enclosed area, since it's a public place, unless you make an Erev, which means, if you know German Amor, everyone in the hotel gets together and buys a piece of bread or whatever it is, or your kona, a piece of bread on top of everyone in the hotel, and everyone can eat it over Shabbos, that makes an Erev. Unless you do that, then you're not going to be able to carry in the hallways. So the big heta that they say for this is that I don't own my hotel room, not even like a soicha. I'm not even like a renter on my hotel room. Why? Because the person who owns the hotel could just decide one minute to the next, you know what, I want to put you in a different room. Pack your bags, go into a different room. That's the svara that they say. But when it comes to Pesach, they don't rely on this svara, because even if that's true for Shabbos, that it's not my permanent place, but since I have an achrayus on this hotel room right now, that means if, let's say one of my kids went around and they trashed the whole place, I'm going to have to pay for it. So even though they can move me to a different hotel room, that level of responsibility is enough on Pesach for it to be called mine. So if I rent a hotel room, that is like renting a house. Therefore, so we learned yesterday that anywhere that has a chazaka that has been checked for chametz, you don't have to check again. Cheskas boduk is enough. So some people would have a taina. You move it to a hotel room and it's perfectly clean. Everything's good. There's definitely no chametz. They do an incredible job. The whole place is spanking clean. There's no chametz anywhere. So everything should be fine. What's the problem? So the teretz is that cheskas boduk only comes if someone checks the house for the mitzvah of checking. Someone has to do the mitzvah of bedikas chametz. Until you do that, you don't have a cheskas boduk. So then there's another tanya that people say, that maybe it's got a din of a mokum she'in machnisin bo chametz, which means as follows. In your house, there's three types of places. There's places, let's say the kitchen or the dining room, where there's chametz all the time, where you definitely have to do bedikah. Then there's places where chametz can get to. That means you don't know that there's chametz there, but chametz can definitely get to them quite easily. If you've got kids, then that's most places in the house. Basically, every single room, every single closet, a kid can come and put food in. And then there's places which are mekumah she'in machnisim bo chametz, places that chametz never go anywhere near. Let's say a top shelf. There's never chametz anywhere near this. You keep your clothes up there on the top shelf, and it has no shakas to any chametz anytime. Or underneath a wardrobe or something like that. You can't move it. You can't lift it behind the wardrobe. So these places, you don't have to do bedikah. So some people taina the hotel room is a mokum shei machnis bo chametz, because since it's cleaned, it's perfectly clean, so this is a place that there's no chametz in, so I'd have to do bedikah. However, if that was true, then no one would ever have to do bedikah's chametz on the house, because I'm sure your parents already started by now, for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month, however strict your parents are, from after Hanukkah, they start checking. Your mother starts checking the whole house for chametz, and by the time it gets to night, because chametz, the place is clean as anything. There is no chametz anywhere in sight. So we should say it's a makom shei machnis bo chametz, and I don't have to do bedikah. But we don't say that. You still do bedikah's chametz. And there's different reasons for this. Some people say that if chametz was there within 3 days, within the past 3 days, it's called a makom shei machnis bo chametz. So in a hotel room, there was probably someone who stayed here within the past 3 days with chametz. Therefore, the fact that it's clean doesn't help you. In your houses, it could be that this would be a problem, because some people get rid of chametz. My parents actually switched over today. There is no more chametz in my house, and anyone who wants to eat chametz, I have to eat it outside on the doorstep. They do that every year. It's very annoying, so I'm very happy to be there as well. now, if that's the case, that more than 3 days without a chometz in the house, you could have a potential problem. How can you make a bracha on bedikah? Because you don't have to do because it's a chometz. Your whole house is a makom she'ein machis bo chometz. So how can you do bedikah? So for this, the Piskei Teshuva says a solution that many people have the minhag to do. So you put out 10 pieces of bread. Before bedikah's chometz, you get your kids to spread bread around the house, and you go and you find those priests. And you have to make sure there's at least a kezayis between all of them, otherwise it's a waste of time, because you don't have a chiyuv to get rid of crumbs. So you have a kezayis between all the pieces of bread, and your bracha is chal on looking for those pieces of bread. But so in a hotel room, if no one's staying in the room the past 3 days, then maybe you could tie it, it's been clean for 3 days, I'd have to check it. But if Shlomo Zalman says that even that case, you have to bedikah, because as long as the place for the entire year is a mokum shemachnisa b'chometz, the place where chometz goes, it doesn't help you to clean out 3 days before, it still has a clear bedikah. And more than that, when it comes to the hotel room, because the cleaner isn't doing bedikah's chometz, they're just cleaning the room, you do find from time to time that there's chometz. They don't move the beds. They don't check underneath the beds. So you can have a kid that put chometz under the bed. And many other places that they don't check the room every single time that they clean them. And very often you come in and there's very little time between you and the person who left, and they do a quick job and they clean very quickly. You come in, you say it's not clean, can you please come back up and clean it again? And at that moment, it's chal on you here to do bedikah's chometz, because you move it into a room which wasn't completely clean. So basically, in every single situation, you're going to have to do bedikah's chometz in the hotel room. So the halacha is like this. Yeah, let's go through all the different cases that can come up. If you go to a Pesach program, so you go to a hotel that's owned by a Jew, or a Jew has responsibility over it. Yeah, let's say talk for now about if it's owned by a Jew. So the balabais, if he rents out the room before the 14th, the keys were handed over before the night of the 14th, then the person who rented the room has a chiyuv bedikah on that room, just like everyone who rents a house. So he has to check the room for chometz. If he rents it out after the night of the 14th, any rooms that he has not rented out yet after the night of the 14th, he has the responsibility to do bedikah's chometz on those rooms. So if you own a hotel, either you have to go around all the rooms yourself, or you have to pay someone to go and do bedikah's chometz, not clean the room, to check the room for chometz, just like the chiyuv of bedikah, once the mitzvah of bedikah's chometz, and they have to check the whole room. If he did not do this, if he didn't check the rooms before Pesach, it's also for him to rent out those rooms on Pesach. You can't rent out a room during Pesach that hasn't had bedikah's chometz done on it. Now, if the owner of the hotel is not shomer Torah mitzvahs, which happens a lot of times in Eretz Yisrael, then you can't rely on him that he's done bedikah's chometz. He's not trusted. And the seicha then has to do bedikah's chometz. Like we said before, you can't complain about it. If the masker, even though he has a chiyuv to check, if he didn't check, the seicha can't complain. It's his mitzvah. He has to go in and check bedikah's chometz. Even if he moves in the middle of Pesach, he has to do bedikah's chometz. Now, even if a hotel has a heksher, bedats and nug rocks and everything else heksher, it does not help. You cannot rely on it at all when it comes to bedikah's chometz, because we've spoken about this in Shir before. Heksherim are only on food. Heksherim do not give a heksher on the music that's being played in a restaurant, or the way that the waitresses dress, or anything like that, or if they have a television there playing unsuitable stuff. A heksher is given on food. It's not given on anything else. The hashkofas, if it has Israeli flags hanging up, it's nothing to do with the heksher that's given to the restaurant or the hotel. All these things do not go under kashrus. So therefore, even if a place is bedat in a charitz, unless you spoke to the mashkiach and asked him, and not if you go and speak to the mashkiach and ask him, was bedikah's chometz done properly? And he says yes, you can rely on the mashkiach, obviously. But unless you do that, then you can't trust bedikah's chometz was done. So when you move into one of these hotels, you have to do bedikah's chometz on Erev Pesach. Now, if the hotel belongs to a goy, then in every single case, you're going to have to do bedikah's chometz. Whether you move in before Pesach, on Pesach, you're going to have to do bedikah's chometz. If you go to a hotel that's owned by a goy during Pesach, on Cholamot, so do you make a bracha on bedikah's chometz? So the rule is that you only make a bracha on bedikah's chometz once. That means that if you were living in your house, you did bedikah's chometz there, or you were in a different hotel, you did bedikah's chometz there, and you made a bracha, then if you switch hotel in the middle of Pesach, you don't make a new bracha when you do bedikah's chometz in a second hotel. However, if you did make a bracha before Pesach, let's say you were staying with your father-in-law for the first part of Pesach, and then the second half of Pesach, you went with your parents to a hotel, and now you're renting a room in a hotel, now you have to make a bracha on Bedikas Kamatz, because now you've got your own din of doing Bedikas Kamatz. So that's a halacha bedika when you're renting off a goy. Now, when it comes to a goy, here you could argue differently, that you could say that if the hotel is a very high standard hotel, and the rooms are cleaned to a very good degree, and you know that there's not going to be any stuff left under the bed or anything like that, over here you can rely on the cleaning as Bedikas Kamatz. Because if it's owned by a Jew, then there's a Chiyuv Bedika at the beginning of Pesach, and unless that Chiyuv Bedika is done, cleaning is not good enough for Bedika, like we said. You have to do Bedikas Kamatz. So unless that was done, then you're going to be in trouble, and you're going to have to do a new Bedika. But when it belongs to a Goy, if at the beginning of Pesach, this room belongs to a Goy, and it cleans it every single day, and you know when you move in that it's being cleaned and there's no comments in the room, it could be you don't have to do Bedikas Kamatz. Definitely you should make a bracha in that case. Because on a Goy, there's no Chiyuv Bedika. And this place could be called a Makom Shein Machlis Bo Chametz, depending on the opinions we said before about 3 days or not. So it comes out that if it belongs to a Goy, and it's on a very high-level hotel, a very fancy hotel where you know that you can rely on their cleaning, that there's not going to be any problems, then it could be a Goy line that you'd have to do a new Bedika. Yudli, you had a question?
No, you answered it.
Now, there is another very, 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 very big problem with hotels, especially when they're not Jewish hotels, when people go on business trips or whatever, or go on a vacation halfway through Pesach and stay in a fancy place or sim or something like that. There's another major issue with hotels, which is very difficult to get around. And that is the minibar. You go into a hotel, and in your hotel room, you have a little fridge. And in that fridge, there is food. That food, very often, is chametz. Now, you don't have to take it. And if you don't take it, don't pay for it. But you can take it. You've got the opportunity to take those chametz and eat those chametz. And then it will be added onto your bill. And when you leave the hotel, you have to pay for everything you took from the minibar. So, what do you do? You move into a hotel room, and you've got a minibar there, and it's full of chametz. So the first thing, there are several issues with it. The first problem is that you're not allowed to have chametz, which you might come to eat. That means chametz, which is, even if it doesn't belong to you, if it's available for you to eat, that means you can access it and choose to eat it, and it will just be added to your bill. It's not called stealing. That's the whole setup. You're meant to take it and eat it. Then you're not allowed to be, yes?
Then any 7-Eleven or convenience store ever is also chametz. It's technically there.
It's very different because you don't own it at all there, and you have to go to the shop, and you have to go take money out of your pocket and pay for it. Over here, it's as if they may as well left it out on the table for you to eat. And if you don't eat, then they're not going to charge you. But the idea is that you take the food, and when you leave, you pay for it. Okay, we'll discuss. We're going to discuss about our cries in a second. The first problem is that it's available to you. And it's sitting in the same room as you're renting. It's in your rented space. Part of your rental is the fridge, right? You're renting the fridge. Why are you there? You can put things in the fridge. You can put your own stuff in the fridge even without paying. So it's sitting in your house, these chametz. So one thing is for sure, if those chametz are there, if they're allowed to be there, which we're going to discuss whether they are in a second, but if they're allowed to be there, you have to make a mechitza. You have to put some sort of block in front of it, tape it up, or put a sign in it saying chametz, something to remind you that you're not allowed to eat it. Because that's the halacha by chametz, unlike other Yisroim, because other Yisroim you're used to not eating, but when it comes to chametz, if you have them in your rishos, you can't just leave them in the kitchen in an open shelf. You have to take them off, you have to put a siman on them so that you remember not to eat them. That's the first problem. Now, there's a separate problem, that even if you don't choose to buy them, we learned the Gemara before, that if chametz is in your achrayus, that means that you're like a shomer on it, you have a certain level of responsibility over it, then you're not allowed to have chametz like that over Pesach. That's like owning chametz. You're over Bani Matzah on Pesach if you have chametz sitting in your room like that. Now, over here, I don't think if the chametz got lost or stolen, it could be irresponsible to pay. Definitely, if you're pushe or if your kids came and took them and ate them, you would definitely have to pay. So they're definitely in your akrayas as a shomer kinam, and maybe even as a shomer sofer. In which case, you're over an issa every single second those chametz are sitting in the fridge. Even if you choose not to eat them, every second you're in a hotel room and there's chametz in the minibar, you're over an issa of lo yimotzi. And it's a very serious problem. So when it comes, if you're renting off a Jew, a non-from Jew, and there's chametz in the minibar, then you have to tell him to take them out before you move into the room. Before you give him the money and rent the room, you have to tell him to take the chametz out. If the chametz are there, straight away, as soon as you go into the room, you take those chametz and you burn them. Because you have a crisis over the chametz, you have to get rid of the chametz. If you're renting off a goy, then lechachila, you should say, I don't want to be cutting these chametz. But the evet, then the place can say that you can rely on the fact that you tell the guy, I'm not eating any of those chametz and I'm not taking responsibility over them. You tell that to the person at the desk. That is enough. It's a big kiddush because if something happens to them, they'll probably still charge you. So it's a very strange idea. But I spoke to a poser just before Shir to ask him, and he said that if you tell the person at the desk you're not taking any responsibility for them, it could be that's enough. Now, what happens if a different case? This also happens in fancy hotels. You come into the room and there is two cookies sitting on your pillow, or some chocolate sitting on your pillow, some crumbs sitting on your pillow. So over here, it's not peshat that you can choose to take it and then you'll pay for it. It's yours already. As soon as you rent the room, the crumbs that's sitting on the pillow is already yours. It's hefka. You don't have to pay for it. They're not going to charge you for it. It's more than hefka. They're giving it to you. So we said that something's hefka in a rented rishos, then you have responsibility to get rid of it. Over here, the chora, it's even more than hefka. Because it's sort of hefka for you. It's hefka specifically for you, set aside for you. So the choyu in this case is even more chomel. I won't say chidush, but it could be that this case is actually better than the minibar. Because when the chomels is sitting on your pillow, if you, before you go into the room, you say, I don't want those chomels, I don't want to take those chomels, I'm not interested in them, I never want them to enter my rishos, then you can get them to remain in the category of hefka. And you can give them to the cleaner when she comes around, or just burn them, or whatever you want. But you can say, I don't want to become those chametz, and they'll never become yours, and they'll remain hefka. Because you don't have an achrayus on those chametz. Because if your kids were to go and eat them, you won't have to pay anyone for them. So in a way, you have less of an ownership over the food they leave on the bed than the food that's in the fridge. Because the food that's in the fridge, you have a responsibility to pay for if something happens to them. If they go up in flames or if your kids go and take them, you're going to have to pay for them. And you can't get rid of that responsibility. So by the food they leave on your bed, you can get rid of the responsibility. You say, I want it to be happy, I don't want it to go with those comments. The food in the fridge, you can't get rid of the responsibility that you have over that food. So it could be that you're worse off and you'll definitely be overloading your mopsy. However, there is another halakha that we haven't discussed yet, with which the food that they leave on your bed is worse than the food in the minibar. And that is muksa. There's a halacha on Pesach that chometz is muksa. The whole Pesach chometz is muksa. If you have chometz in your rishos, then you're not allowed to touch those chometz. And if you need to burn them, it's big shaila what you should do with them. How do you burn chometz on Pesach? And you should pour something on them and then drop a match on it. There's different shlusas. It could be you should put it on a stick and do tilt something outside and take it outside like that, and then burn it. So all this applies to your own chometz. There is a chiddush of the Chuk Yaakov. The chometz that's hefka, that's in your rishus, even if you're not going to it, it's muksa. You're not allowed to touch it, I think because it's more available for you to take. So therefore, because it's muksa, you can't pick up, if they leave food for you on your bed, you can't pick up that food and give it to the woman coming around to clean the rooms. You can't touch it. You can't do anything with it. You have to, I don't know what you do with it. Either you burn it on the spot, or you say it's hefka, and as soon as, but then you have to make a mechitza in front of it, of asar tefachim. So you've got this cookie sitting on your bed. You come into a new hotel room, pay a fortune for the room, you come to the room, there's a cookie sitting on your bed. First thing you have to do is say, I'm not going to that cookie. Then you have to build a mechitza, which is 10 tefachim high, in front of the cookie, so you don't come to eat it, and wait until the cleaner comes around, and as soon as she comes around, you tell her to go and take the cookie without you touching it. That's probably the only solution that you could do. However, the food in the fridge, it could be, does not have a problem with chametz, because chametz of a goy, even if a Jew has responsibility over them, does not become mukzah. So if you do all the arrangements presented before, you say you don't want to be cooking them, and you ask them to take them out, and you come through and they didn't take them out yet, then it could be that you can pick them up and take them downstairs and dump them on the desk and say, I don't want these chametz. So the best thing to do is don't go to a hotel for Pesach, stay at home, make Pesach properly like a normal person. But if you need to go to a hotel for Pesach, you should be aware that there are many, many problems like the ones we discussed and many more.
Rabbi.
Yes.
What's it called? If most people who go to Pesach hotels, they go not on Erev Pesach. They go a day or two early, and they do a bedika, and they do burn their chametz beforehand. So why can't they just?
Yeah, 100%. If you move into a Pesach before a hotel before Erev Pesach, that's the best thing to do, and you won't have any problems. You do proper bedikas chametz, you do beer chametz, and everything's good. Most of the problems we're discussing is either moving in on Erev Pesach or moving in during Chol HaMoed. And if it's a Frum hotel, then you're much better off than if you're staying in either a non-Frum hotel or a Goyish hotel.
Right.
But people who've got business trips like that during Chol HaMoed, they're the ones who get into real problems. That's where you get really stuck. Or let's say people who fly during Chol HaMoed, let's say their in-laws live on the other side of the country or something like that, and they have a problem with their flights and they have to stay overnight in one of these airport inns or something, then you can have serious problems, because as soon as you move into that hotel on Pesach, you'd be over Kamei Surim just by walking into the room. So these are the things to be aware of.